So, I want to share my story this morning with you. Since I was a little girl, I was in love with Jesus. And my parents were Christian, and they transmitted a very simple faith with me. And I got baptized at the age of 8 years old. I know it's a bit too young. I don't know if it was a good idea or if my parents did well in allowing me to do it. But the truth is that I was very, very passionate about the kingdom of God, and I wanted to be a part of it. When I was in secondary school, my youngest brother died, and he went after a ball that had fallen into our swimming pool, and he didn't know how to swim, and he was 3 years old. And as much as my father repeated that it was no one's fault and that we wouldn't blame each other, I felt really guilty. And because my brother was unattended, and I really thought that I could have avoided it, that I could have controlled the situation. But because I lost control of that moment, I started to control everything in my life. I was already a good student. I always put effort in what I did, but now it was extreme. I started to aim for the best mark, for the best body. I developed an eating disorder, and I got really obsessed over food and studies and perfection, and I stopped trusting God. I thought, there is no way that I am going to trust you if you let my brother die. Back off, and now I'm in control of my life. I don't try this at home. I personally don't recommend it to take God out of the equation, because what followed was 5 years of suffering on my own. I didn't want to tell my parents because they had enough with my brother's death, so I created this fake life of happiness, this perfect showcase of having overcome every trauma and being well and joyful. People really believed that I was okay, but in reality I wasn't. It was very different from that. When I was alone, I was playing with food. I had a lot of anxiety. I wanted to please everyone, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but when you put so much pressure on your shoulders, you have this feeling of never being enough, of failing everything, even though I was trying so hard, I started to commit self-harm, and it didn't take long for the suicidal thoughts to arrive. And I thought, if this is life, I don't want to be in it. Until one day, when I reached the peak of my disease, I was very underweight, and I said to my parents, I need help. I explained every single detail of my hidden life, and they understood and supported me, and I'm forever grateful. And yeah, they asked me, what do you want? And I said, I want to go to a recovery center. So I went to a day hospital, and I can say that year that I spent in the recovery center was the worst of my life, because I paused my studies and I had to go through a very tough process of healing. I dealt with many things from the past and the present. I was doing therapy every single day, every hour, and the rules were very severe, but that's what I needed at that time. And as I say, there they fixed my head, but I completely forgot about Jesus. And I was separating from him more and more as I was focusing on me, on my health. I just wanted to be okay, to stop the anxiety and the suffering. And finally, after many battles, I finished my treatment and I got to be better mentally, but my spirit was dead. And that summer, when I got out of the recovery center, my mother suggested me to go to a summer camp, a Christian summer camp. And she knew that I wasn't a Christian anymore, but I accepted. And the first night of the camp, it was a worship vigil. I don't know how to do vigil. And I felt really out of place. I had been 1 year without speaking with God, and I think people noticed, because the director of the camp came and he said, can I pray for you? And I said, sure, you can pray for me, but if I don't respond, it's just know that I haven't prayed in 1 year. But as soon as he started to pray for me, I felt the presence of God in a very, very strong way. a way that I've never experienced again. And I started to cry, and I stood there for 1 hour just crying my heart out. And this was God's way of telling me, Anna, don't you see that I'm here? I have always been by your side, even when Juan died, even when you were shouting and crying for help in the room and you thought I had abandoned you. I was there all the time. And that week, that summer camp was really my inflection point. I thought that if God really existed and he was with me, I had to do something about it. So I began to speak with him again, to worship him, even though I didn't fully understand why I was doing it. And I read a book by Timothy Keller that shook all that I had learned during the year of therapy. It's The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness. I don't know if you know the book, but it made me see that the problem of my depression, anxiety, and eating disorders wasn't low self-esteem, but the opposite. It was high self-esteem. I thought, I am a good person and I didn't deserve to suffer. Why did I suffer? But who is the one that really didn't deserve to suffer but died on the cross? So everything that I've said about my life is forgiven, forgotten, and restored. That is Jesus. And Jesus is the answer. And the problem is that I was always the victim. Why did I went through that? Why did I suffer so much? Why did you allow it? So I needed to stop looking so much at myself and starting to look up, to look to Jesus. And I got baptized again. I don't need first baptism from when I was 8. And I have followed Jesus since. And let me tell you, it's so much better to live with him than without him. I think we all know that. And yeah, if I focus on God, everything around me is so little, and I am so little, and he is so great. And let me tell you that I've seen the sovereignty of God in many things of my life, but one little detail is that the summer of last year, I went to the United States for 3 months to work in a special needs camp. And it was a really difficult experience because the director of the camp was from the army and he was very, very strict and very mentally abusive too. And I thought again, God, why am I here? Why did you brought me here? Why did you? Yeah. And this year I've understood why I had to go through that. And it's because I had to learn something and I had to get ready for the IBTI. And I'm not saying that the IBTI is the same. I'm not saying that it's very difficult. It is tough, but it's very rewarding. And compared to that, the IBTI is like heaven. So, yeah, that's my story. And I really think that everything that we go through has a purpose. Everything, and God is in control all the time. And I see that now. I can see my past and I can say, look, I didn't understand it at that time, but now I do. And now I see why I had to go through all that. And now I can help other people that are going through similar things. And let me share a verse that I think summers up everything. It's in John 13, verse 7. Jesus replies, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." And I really believe that whatever you're going through, maybe you don't understand it now, but God is sovereign and God knows everything and he's in control. And keep pushing because there is a purpose. Thank you very much.
I'm so proud of her. You know, we know each other from 1 month, more or less, but I didn't know her story. So I was really touched, and thank you for sharing with us. Really, God is amazing, and God is faithful. And, I mean, yeah. And, you know, God gave to us talents, gifts to use for glorify His name. So now I want to introduce Joelle, and he will share something else, something different with us. So, yeah.
Good morning. I am Joelle, as Ilaria said, and I'm Italian, and 22 years old, and I wrote a poem for you. And I would like to say before reading it, and before, yeah, calling Hannah to play the piano, I let her read the poem yesterday, right? And you wrote your testimony before reading my poem, and something she said will match with what I wrote. And I just want to say that the Lord is amazing. It's so beautiful. So this is my poem. I am your friend. When you were born, you were crying, asking for some warm, and the light was hitting your little eyes. I am your friend. When you were 4 years old, falling on the ground, and your dad didn't catch you in time, you thought, where are you, daddy? I am your friend. When you started school, crying because you felt so alone in that big, huge, gray building. I am your friend. When that little boy punched you for no reason, was he your friend? You were so little, he didn't like you. I am your friend. When you were looking for somebody to share your cake with, but all the chairs were taken and you were standing with your food. I am your friend when nobody came at your birthday party and your father didn't say anything because he was sleeping on the couch. I am your friend when you started playing the piano, but somebody told you, you're not a boy. I am your friend when you failed the exam and you got a lower mark than expected, but you studied hard. You were so worried about it, and he didn't say anything. I am your friend when you made your first friend and you were so happy, you were smiling all the time. I am your friend when your parents didn't allow you to go with your first friend, and you were so confused. I am your friend when you started to hate yourself and you started to look at the mirror and thinking, why am I like this? What have I done to deserve this? I am your friend when your father told you that you are disgraced and he wished you could be different, you could be another person because you are not what he wants. I am your friend when you painted your arm and legs for hundreds of times, thinking about the waterfall of his words itching you and moving the blade as fast as the light of your lamp, on and off, on and off, on and off. If you catch me, I'm over, on and off. I am your friend where you drank so much to forget the face of your father, and after now 1 hour you slept on the floor. For a while your mouth open and your eyes wet. I am your friend when you wanted to make it stop. Take that decision, sitting on a window and thinking about how much does it end to touch the ground. I can jump and finish everything. I am your friend when your mother asks you why you are like this. And you were thinking, you don't know because she made you. What did they do, mom? I'm your friend when your girlfriend told you that you were useless and you were stuttering because she was right. I'm your friend when you were on the floor and the floor was so cold. I'm your friend when you wanted to erase your scars and you were crying because the scars are already something that has been erased and you didn't know how to delete the testimony of my mistake. I'm your friend when your eyes were fire and flames and your tears were a flood of mud. I am your friend when you just wanted a hug and you thought I was not in the room with you on the bed next to you. I am your friend because I was born as you were, crying for the cold. I am your friend because nobody wanted me. I am your friend because my friends left me. I have scars. I know what you're passing through because I've been crying for years. My Heavenly Father sent me here for you. I was here thinking about you every time, every moment. I could have given up, but then your face, your crying eyes were in front of me, a vision of sorrow, and I knew that I had to suffer to feel the pain, to see my arms becoming red, to see my blood as a filter to my sight, to feel the wood that my father Joseph used to carve and pierce on my body, on my flesh, on my pierced and curved skin. I know, trust me. I do know what it means when somebody says, I don't know you. I know when somebody kisses you, but actually wants you to die. I know everything. I know the scars, I know the pain, I know the tears. I know when you were thirsty, you wanted someone to give you water. I know what it means to scream in pain and everybody mocking you, where you're standing in the middle and everybody points at you, and you just want your father to take you out from there. I know what you're thinking right now, that you can't do that because you're weak, but your parents don't know you better than me. Trust me, they don't. And I know that after the tears and the screams, and after you cried out, and after you called at your real father, God, for your sake, He's going to take you high, take you higher. You will fly and your skin will be clean. You will smile, cry no more, and this will be enough. I am your friend. I am your friend when I died for you. I am your friend because I love you. Thank you.